We've heard from a number of Indian Americans this week speaking about the difficulties of living in two worlds. Profound uncertainty from a teenager in Kansas City where the shooting of two Indian men took place a week ago. An actress spoke with us yesterday about how creating a theater piece helped her to understand how her American and Indian identities have had to find a way to live together. For musician Zeeshan Bhagwati, the best way to understand his journey from one culture to another is to hear his radical cover of George Perkins' soulful track, Crying in the Streets.
I see somebody marching, marching down the street, yeah.
Zeeshan draws similarities between the fight and the struggle for civil liberties in the 60s and that same fight today. He credits his parents, who immigrated to the States decades ago, for raising him on a healthy dose of soul music, two souls in one very American musician.
The music of James Brown and B.B. King was just as synonymous in my soundtrack of my childhood as was the film music of Muhammad Rafi or Kishore Kumar, or for that matter, Mehdi Hassan, who was, I think, the greatest singer to have ever come from the Indian subcontinent. My germination as a child, you know, it was centered in all this really awesome stuff.
Awesome stuff and America's less than awesome racism and other forms of intolerance. South Asians, Bhagwati learned, were treated differently than blacks and Latinos, especially in a city like Chicago.
This is a very race-conscious place. From a very early age, I was very conscious of the fact that I was a person of color. From kindergarten to third grade, I went to an all-Muslim school, which was amazing because all the other kids, you know, they were Indian, Pakistani, or Arab, and I fit in with them, and their moms, you know, made the same sandwiches, you know, that we took to lunch. Nobody was making fun of, like, you know, the Indian food that I had for lunch, you know what I'm saying? It was just comfortable. I think
you were sheltered.
The culture shock.
Yeah.
I was sheltered. Yeah, I was sequestered, and it was blissful, really. When I switched over to public school, that was quite a culture shock because I think there were two Indian kids in school and in my class, and we kind of had a solidarity in that. It was just kind of like, okay, we're gonna get made fun of today, and it's okay. And we just kind of had like group therapy sessions over that, you know. But in all seriousness, Chicago is just like that. You're made very aware of what you are.
Do you know the story of Crying in the Streets, and how does it relate to the reason why you decided to cover it?
I chanced upon this George Perkins Crying in the Streets. I said, my goodness, what's this all about? So I looked him up, and I read that he penned that song as a reaction to the assassination of Dr. King in 1968. And the song came out 2 years in 1970. It's an outpouring of his own grief at observing the funeral. You know, I see somebody marching in the streets. I see somebody crying in the streets. I see somebody dying in the streets.
I hear somebody crying in the streets. Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people, including myself, in these streams of consciousness, you just sort of see images of whatever it is that's going on. And for me, I knew Sandra Bland in high school, actually, and we were in the same circle of friends. She had just been murdered in Texas, and I was always a supporter of Black Lives Matter. But, you know, when Sandy was killed, well, it just hit home more, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my, Sandy, wait, I knew, what, you know,
well, you
sitting
found
right
yourself,
next to each other in prom.
You found yourself sort of swirled into the Black Lives Matter movement. You go from, oh, I support that, to that's outrageous, to realizing that this experience is actually your experience that you're having in your own way.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I'm very aware of my privilege, you know, growing up, you know, Indian American. I mean, we're privileged. I mean, we have access to jobs. We have access to education, to healthcare, housing, et cetera, that disenfranchised indigenous minorities like Native Americans, blacks, Latinos, they don't have, you know. It just became a little bit more personal when Sandy was killed. And then the rise of Trump and this whole election, you know, this man announces his candidacy, goes on this, you know, demagogic rampage. All those things going on just sort of, you know, were part of my stream of consciousness. And then that just gave this song its own unique relevance, and I got to do this.
When did you come up with a title for your new album, which is out in April?
Just a couple months ago, actually. Honestly, I like that it does have sort of a tongue-in-cheek aspect to it. There's the political implications and the socio-political implications of the title in light of what's going on with the immigration ban. That's very personal to me, you know? I mean, my parents are immigrants, for God's sakes. If this kind of nonsense was going on, that we wouldn't have been here, you know? I take pride in the fact that we have contributed to the fabric of America. There's so many levels of vetting that are going on, and I feel like I've just been vetted for better or for worse. You know, my music is vetted all the time. Everything's vetted these days, you know?
How do you use this record to celebrate all the various voices, languages, and influences in your background?
Heavily featured on the album are instruments that are idiomatic in their sound. And I say idiomatic because they are cornerstones of Indo-Pakistani music. Instruments such as the harmonium and the tanpura, which has a very sinewy sound, as well as some of the tunes that are on there that are in Urdu. One's in Urdu and the other one's in Punjabi. And some of the other songs have a cross between Urdu and English. For example, Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City, the intro of that is in Urdu, and then I transition to English. Part of the soundtrack of my childhood was soul music of India and Pakistan. Mm. And I'm telling you, I say that because it's the stuff that was really about, you know, being down and out of poverty. And my father came from abject poverty. And all these things are, you know, sort of come to a swell in the album.
Zeeshan, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Zeeshan Bhagwati is a musician based in Chicago. His debut solo album, Vetted, will be out in April.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.